Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
And I started out in first service by showing them purpose from the Bible point. And I also built a case for the topic as a message to be taught and to be learned of. So, in the first service, I share with them that purpose, in fact, the word purpose, purposeful from Merriam-Webster dictionary simply means having a purpose. Purposeful means having a purpose. Then purpose means something set up as an object or end to be attained, an intention. That's the synonym used for it in Merriam-Webster dictionary. So, purpose is such an important message that cannot be overemphasized in our Christian teachings, because the entire reason why we exist is so important that one knows it, so that one will not be ashamed on the last day. Because we are going to be scored not based on what we did, but based on what is expected of us. So the concept of purpose posits that there is a creator with an intention in mind. He has an expectation for the proposed. So he proposed the purpose for the proposed. And that already tells you that whatever the proposed considers as purpose must be relevant in the realm of the one who proposed for the proposed. And since God is a spirit, he lives in the spirit realm, whatever we call purpose must be spiritual for it to be relevant in his realm. Like I said in first service, career, for instance, cannot be your purpose, because career is an invention of man to meet the need of man that is ever evolving. Are you aware, for example, until 1903, you couldn't pursue a career in aviation, because it was in that year in North Carolina that the first flight was recorded. So it therefore means that if I say my purpose is in my career, then I will be mistaken. At best, your career can only be a vehicle through which you can project your purpose. So what is the purpose of man? Very simple. According to Ephesians 1 verse 5, the Bible says God predestinated that all of God's creation, that all of humankind, irrespective of culture, irrespective of their racial classification, God has proposed that they should be adopted as children by Jesus Christ. And that, of course, we know, it simply means salvation. So God wants all of humankind to be adopted into sonship. So the day you receive Christ, you have come into God's destiny for you. You have come into God's purpose for you. Now, everything you now do in Christ must be purposeful. In other words, whatever you do must promote God's eternal intent of bringing more people into the body. So your life will be purposeful to the degree in which everything you do supports the body to further carry out the intent, the mission of the Creator, which again is to bring many into the body. Is that simple enough? So purpose, therefore, defines why, explains what is the reason, to what end, the reason why a thing exists. It defines reason and answers the question of why. So I began by sharing also in first service that a few things I called facts of purpose. Facts of purpose. And I told them, I said, purpose is discovered, not determined. The reason why purpose cannot be determined by the proposed is because the purpose of the proposed existed before the proposed. Because the purpose of the proposed was actually the reason why the Creator created the proposed. If I make a chair, before the chair became a physical reality, the thought of making a chair existed before the chair, true? So as the purpose that you are, the reason for your existence was already predetermined before you started existing. So you cannot wake up one morning and determine what your purpose is. You have to discover it. So you have to find what that purpose that the purpose has proposed for you so you can walk in the purpose. Because that is all that will eventually matter in the scheme of things and at the end of age when you meet your creator. So get first step. I don't want to elaborate anymore on that. Number two, I said purpose is not unique. You see, for example now, everybody has a handphone. And it makes no difference where you are, whether in Asia, whether in Africa, whether in Australia. A phone will always do one thing, irrespective of the extracurricular features that it may have. They might even give some kind of upgrade to any kind of phone, but they all have one purpose, to make and to receive call. It makes no difference where the phone is or found in the world. In the same vein, since we are all created by one creator, he has one purpose for all mankind, irrespective of their culture or race. His purpose for all mankind is that they should be adopted into sonship by Jesus Christ. So that is the purpose God has for all mankind. However, when you now come into Christ, you now have a specific assignment. So purpose that God has for all mankind is generic. I'm still coming to that. But our assignment in the purpose of God is specific. And the specific assignment that we have must work in tandem with the generic purpose that God has for the body, which is to bring more into the body. Is that simple enough? I don't know if you are getting it. If you're getting it, let me see your hands up. I hope I'm not speaking too much Dogon Turenchi. Kunaji magana na kwa. What's that? Why not try? All right. Say ngbon kan temi nun so. Te ba ti gbon kan ti mu nwe ejoko. O nka loku le de ti e. Eh, ede temi na mo nso. So I try now. I know that Igbo people are expecting joy. You wait till Jesus come. That your language is too hard. Abo, nto na, olo to po. Like Chinese. All right. So purpose is not unique. Assignment is. Then the next one I told them, I said, purpose is not a career. Your purpose cannot be your career because your career is an invention of man. And since God is a spirit, whatever he calls purpose for you, the creation, must be spiritual because whatever he proposed for you in time must be relevant after time. Anything you call your achievement on earth must not be a petty conversation when you meet your creator. And since the needs of man are always evolving, it therefore can't be the purpose of man. For instance, until 1903, when the Wright brothers flew the first flight in North Carolina, you couldn't have pursued a career in aviation. So if something so petty as that, created by man, unstable and can change, are you aware that there are some professions, some career, that some people took so seriously some years ago that are no longer existing? There was a time that you were a smart guru if you could do shorthand as a typist. They are no longer in function anymore. Because now there's computer. Are you following what I'm saying? So your career cannot be your purpose. It can only be a platform for you to project your purpose. That is said. Then I also said, okay, that was where I stopped in first service. Now in second service, number four. Number one, purpose is discovered, not determined. Number two, purpose is not unique, but assignment is. Number three, purpose is not a career, but your career can be a platform by which you fulfill purpose. Number four, purpose is not necessarily what makes you happy. Rather, it is synonymous to sacrifice. I understand that many of you have read several books that tells you, do what makes you happy. That's your purpose. Fat lie. In fact, that conclusion, that statement in itself is faulty, because if purpose is spiritual, then it doesn't necessarily have to appeal to your temperament. For instance, the purpose of Moses was to be a mouthpiece for God, a prophet. But guess what? Moses was a stammerer. Come on, talk to me. If purpose was about how you look physically, guess what? Jeremiah was already disqualified. Because in Jeremiah 1 from verse 5, Jeremiah said, ah, I am a child. And God says, say not that you are a child, for I will be with your mouth. You will speak through me. I will speak through you. And with your words, you will pull out nations, you will plant nations. Come on, talk to me. So it has nothing to do with your natural orientation. It has nothing to do with your natural credential. If purpose is about your degrees, Ayo Babalola wouldn't be a minister of the gospel, because Ayo Babalola can't even speak English. And the church he founded, the CAC, after many years, is still existing till date. Are you following what I'm saying? So purpose has nothing to do with your physical credential. However, your physical credential is important. It can serve as a platform to project your purpose. So it's not necessarily something that makes you happy. How many of you know that the purpose of Jesus was to take away the sins of the world? Come on, talk to me. Is that his purpose? And he could only achieve that by dying. Now, excuse me. Is there anyone you know on earth that dying gives them happiness? Like they are happy to die. Have you seen anybody who says, nah, I want to die now? I mean, did you watch Jesus on the cross say, yeah, Pilate, give me, man. And then he put the next hand, oh yeah, put the nail, man. I like it, bro. It's not something that makes you happy. A lot of people are looking for happiness and they are missing the point. Some people find happiness in different things. Some try to find happiness in marriage. Marriage is happiness. There is happiness in marriage, but that's, listen, let me tell you something. You mistake purpose for lack of words now. Don't mistake purpose for side attractions, like additions. The reason why you must have happiness in marriage is because you married well. See, let me tell you. If you marry wrong, you can't find happiness. Because it's either you marry a prayer partner or you marry a prayer point. So, pay attention. So if you are looking for happiness in marriage, you are already on a rabbit. You're on a rabbit hole that has. Have you seen a rabbit hole before? I don't know if I've seen a rabbit hole. All these Abuja children, you don't know. Ajebo. Have you, in Yoruba, have you gone to Degbe? Once in a while, when I go to the village. Anyway, the last time I went to the village was 2001, so. 2001, that was the last time I went. I know some of you were not even born then. So 2001 was the last time I went to the village, and I remember on two occasions I followed some of the villagers in Yoruba. We call it Degbe, one and Lord Degbe. That means they are going to the bush. So they will have this Kunsan Dembe, Wanabuana Dembe, like Kai! You know that long stick that has cocoa at the edge. Everybody will carry it. The moment they see anything moving, they will surround and start beating there. Are you following what I'm saying? Come on.
Yes, sir.
Good. So now, here is the point. In the village, when a person is born into the family, or perhaps the primary reason why the husband or the head of the house actually marries more wives, he already has a natural intent for them. It is so that he can have more children that will do farm work for him. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So in that case, for instance, those children, you grow to find happiness in what you have been told is what you were born for. You find Christians who are born into a family by God, and they were saved to actually save others, and they get lackadaisical about it. So, in all those things that people look for happiness, happiness is not there. It's not there. I've done a teaching titled Satisfaction Part 1 to 2. Go and look for it on the website and download it. I don't want to go over that again. But maybe one other time I'll teach it again. But let's look at Matthew 26, everybody. Matthew 26 and verse 39. Matthew 26 and verse 39. He says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let what? I said I want everybody to participate. See, it's something we have to learn. We must learn to participate in church. Don't be mute in church. Everything that will be communicated in church, spiritual resources, blessings, they come through words. So learn to participate. You have just 1 or 1.5 hour maximum that you are spending in church. Maximize it. It's not the time when you are in church you are going to go and urinate all the time. Some people, their body controls them in church. When you are coming to church, get prepared to participate in everything. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's read verse 39 of 26. Everybody, 3, 2, go. So Jesus here was smart enough to separate happiness from purpose. He says, look, if it be possible, let this cup pass over me. Now, the word cup there is from the Greek word poterion. It means fate, F-A-T-E, or what we call destiny, or purpose, as our topic is. So if his purpose was to save mankind, and the only way he would do that was by dying. So even though he's not happy about dying, of course, nobody will be glad to have Roman nails go through their ends. Come on. But he says, look, nevertheless, if it be thy will. In other words, the will of God does not always make you happy. But because you are convinced that it is the will of God, you endure. And the good news is, if you endure the pain, there is gain. Because we later read that in Jesus' submission to God's will, it earned him having his name highly exalted above all names. Don't forget, Jesus is co-equal with God. Yet, the Bible says he rid himself of all the glory of sonship, all the glory of majesty. Philippians 2 tells us from verse 5. And by so doing, God has highly exalted him and given him a name, an authority above every other authority. That's why the Bible speaks about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should fall. There's always a glory for the pain. So purpose is synonymous with sacrifice, not some kind of happiness. I am not saying you can't find happiness in purpose, like I am already finding happiness in purpose. Even though I am not as happy yet as I want to. Now I won't hear the truth. Amen?
Amen.
But I find happiness in doing pastoring. But much more than happiness, I find joy. Because you see, the difference between happiness and joy. I've not been always happy about my purpose, to be honest with you. Sometimes it can be annoying. I'm telling you. But I have always had joy about it. You see, joy is not circumstantial. Joy is a response to a conviction. Joy is spiritual. The joy I have or I experience when I see people give testimonies of how their life has changed through my teaching of the word, that is the sense of purpose. And everyone has that sense of desire to live purposeful in their hearts. Everyone. And every other thing you turn to to satisfy that, you will keep going a rabbit hole. There will never be satisfaction. I gave them an example in first service. I said, how do you experience Solomon, the richest king? He was experimenting with women until he got to the 1,000 women and he found out that it was all nonsense. See, let me tell you one thing. For the guys, I like to say this. Look, can you just normalize being convinced about one woman and stay there? See, and the reason why you are confused about the concept of marriage is because you keep feeding on nonsense on the internet. There is one guy now, I don't want to call his name, a veteran musician in Nigeria that went viral just this week saying, see, when people cannot undo an issue, they make it a doctrine. Say, men are created to cheat. Listen, let me tell you something as a child of God. One of the most brilliant things you can do to yourself is to deliver yourself from yourself. The moment you are moved by your thirst and your desires all the time, you are in trouble. You are in big trouble. And you can learn from the life of Solomon. I am sure Solomon actually won certain features that kept him going the rabbit hole until he had 1,000 women. Do you know what it means to have 1,000 women? If you say that men are made to cheat, just like that man said, just like one time, after impregnating his co-worker in Nollywood, ended up telling you that polygamy is biblical. See, the problem is, and they call them influencers. Maybe you don't understand how a person's belief can influence their worldview. And you, the followers as well, you take in to believe the nonsense. Some of you, the ideology you have about marriage, for example, who gave it to you? Nollywood. You can't trust any guy anymore now. Because you have watched different Nollywood about guys. Once a guy, they tell you, once a guy is tall, dark, and handsome, is a cheat. Just like I was made to believe growing up that once a girl is fair, she's witch. Because all those times, they always use fair, fine girls as witch in movies. Amen? So now they end up saying men has come. See, let me tell you, their problem is they are looking for happiness in a place where there is no happiness. Look, marriage, you can only, listen, I don't know why I'm talking about marriage today. Marriage, you only enjoy marriage by what you bring into it. Marriage is not something that, okay, boom, marriage. Once I marry now, everything. If you were a fornicator before you got married, you will only become an adulterer when you got married. If you are a liar before you got married, you will only become a serial black-white liar. There is nothing, marriage does not change anybody. If you say he does not believe in God, he's not really a Christian person like that, but he's a nice guy. I believe that I will change him. Well done, Holy Spirit. You know the problem with ladies? They always think they can change everything. Like my wife, when we first married, was thinking she would change me from, you can't stop my mustache. Even Albani Koku cannot stop this thing. You can't, look. That's why, ladies, the ball is in your court before you say I do. If you marry a mumu, the mumu will carry you around the rabbit hole. There was one lady like that when the church first began. Tongue-talking, spirit-filled, anointed lady. Anointed singer. Got married to one Catholic guy. That one said, he cannot go to our church anymore. That I confronted them for one particular thing. And me, if you're in this church, if I cannot confront you, you can't be my member. Who are you? Not feeding me. I don't need you. You need me. My God. Masquerade. You see, everyone, my God, did you notice every time in scripture, it is the people that need the prophet? Yes, my God. My God. I don't need. They were the only couple. The first time one of our pastors went to visit, they saw the ladies high black. The second time blue. I comforted them and said, my God, if you continue like this, I can't be your pastor. The next day, they stopped coming. My God. You see, the thing is, I feel so sorry for her. She came crying. I said, listen, you have to follow your husband to the church he attends.
Yeah, I can't sing.
Imagine a person, she's from Christ Embassy. Spirit filled, she can sing, but I'm very sure I can tell why she said yes to that guy. Because looking at the guy is handsome. Do you know there was a lady in this church who was dating a bad guy? And I called him by the Spirit, I saw it. I prophesied about it in a prayer meeting where we were praying in field. Do you know later on, this girl, I confronted her. She said,
but he is cute.
He's cute. And you know he's a cultist. But because he's cute, have you seen, you know, I have to dig down for many years to find out why do good girls fall into the hand of bad boys? And I found the answer. I found the answer. Don't worry, when we have ladies' meetings with Reverend Mrs. and I'll come and share some of those things. There are five reasons. I found five reasons why. Because in my 12 years of pastoring, one of the things that bothered me is, why will a good girl in church? And when I say fall into the hand of a bad guy, it doesn't have to be a bad guy outside church. For example, a guy comes to visit you. Listen, in this church, if a guy comes to visit you in church, in this church, a guy comes to visit you alone, I did not send him. Then the next thing, you start having sex. And you are telling him, go and tell pastor. He's saying, actually, I like to just keep things cool. It's a lie. Yoruba say, kilo wa mo wo toba faru owo. There's a song, killa di mutafi waru owo, something like that. I know you don't know. My wife is English. So the thing is, say no to Nicodemus' love. I don't want to shout about it. And pastor is not aware. It's a lie. Tell him, off my back. Amen. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Praise God. That's why one of the things I'm going to do now is, as God increases us, all our protocols will be married. If you are not married, you can't be in pastor's protocol. So that people will not start thinking that just because you are in protocol simply means that person has approval. And ladies start trodding. You know, the thing is, can I be honest with you? It's always a problem that has not been solved that makes people fall into trouble. Looking for happiness somewhere. Listen, there is a God-sized hole in everyone's heart that only God alone can fill. Guys, can I speak to you? You see, ladies, wonderful people, beautiful gender, amazing personalities. In fact, I can't imagine the world without them. But can I also be honest with you? 20 hours out of 24 hours of the day, fear women. The remaining 4 hours, use and fear person with no fear woman. Praise God. As it is sweet day. All right, let's focus. So purpose is necessarily not something that makes you happy, but it's actually sacrificial. Here is the paradox of purpose, that the day you find out the reason why you live, you won't mind losing your life for it. So purpose is that one thing for which you live and for which you don't mind losing your life for. That's the paradox of purpose. So that makes you a dangerous person, because now nothing moves you. They can't bribe you. Nothing can change your focus, because you have found the reason why you came to this world. Now you want to go all out and sell and give up everything for it. That is the concept of purpose. And you see, it has always been that way, that the things of God will always thrive on the shoulders of sacrifice. You remember the Ark of Covenant, right? When the Bible says in the book of, let's check 2 Samuel 6. You're going to see what happened in 2 Samuel 6 and verse 1. 2 Samuel 6 and verse 1. He says, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. I want you to run with me, media. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Jula to bring up from thence the Ark of God. They wanted to bring the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the Ark of God upon a new cart. Someone say new cart. New cart. So they took the Ark of God and put it in the new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on arms and psalteries, and on timbrels and cornets and cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Then verse 8 tells us what happened. Verse 8, and the anger of the Lord was kindled. Verse 7, beg your pardon. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. Meanwhile, he had good intentions, don't forget. And David was displeased because the Lord has made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. Verse 9. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Verse 10. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him, unto the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The irony is, when they now kept the ark in Obed-Edom's house, in 3 months, Obed-Edom became rich. There's so much to share here, but I don't want to go into theological explanation of this. But the thing I want you to notice is that Uzzah put forth his hand, and then the calamity happened, right?
Yes,
come on, talk to me, right?
Yes,
now, let's now go to 1 Chronicles 15, verse 11. You know, 1 Chronicles 15, verse 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and for the Levite, for Uriel, Isaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab, verse 12, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourself, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of God out of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Verse 13. Now, can we all read verse 13? When I say participate, you know what I mean. Verse 13, everybody, 3, 2, go. Verse 14.
So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord.
Verse 15, louder, everybody.
And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders, with the scribes Aaron, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord.
So here we found out that David realized that the reason why Uzzah was struck was because the ark in the first place was never to be in the cart. According to the word of the Lord by Moses, the ark of God must be on the shoulders of people that have been assigned to do so. Now, that symbolizes sacrifice. You've seen people who say, well, now I am rich. I would rather pay someone to come and be sweeping the church. I will not sweep the church anymore. Well, it's good you have money, and it's good you are giving to the gospel, but the Bible also tells us, God doesn't just want your hand, He wants your heart. That's why God first comes for your heart before He needs your hand. Before you can serve, God wants to see your heart. So the point here is, purpose and the things of God in general demand sacrifice. How do you explain? See, have you ever given him the thought that, did you realize that Moses, as we all know, was actually a prince? And that means he had the possibility of becoming the next Pharaoh. Why didn't Moses just apply wisdom and wait until when he becomes the next Pharaoh and then he will release the people? Come on. But you see, God wanted it that way by a strong hand. You see, a lot of times when what people call wisdom is just either fear or poor information about how God gets things done. There is an MO in which God gets things done. Did you realize that if Esther did not respond positively to the release of God's people as a Jew, did you realize that Haman's plan of completely annihilating God's people, if he had succeeded, did you realize that there wouldn't have been a Jesus to come and save us? Because there wouldn't have been a Jew, and salvation was to come through the Jewish tribe. Is somebody learning something?
Yes,
now, did you realize that Haman told Esther that, look, if you do not respond positively this time, then shall help come for the Jew from somewhere else. And who knows, maybe the reason why you are a queen is for such a time as this. A lot of people don't know the purpose for why God has elevated them. A lot of people have no idea why they are having so much money. And the reason is because they do not have the sense of purpose. Purpose gives meaning to everything you do and you intend to do. Because purpose actually puts in you a sense of accountability. That, look, I'm going to give account of how I did what I did to a creator who is superior, the one who proposed the purpose for which I exist. It therefore means that this line, this thin line of understanding that there is a purpose of God in my life, makes us walk in a certain way that is pleasing to God all our lives. Because you see, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is not phobia or fear against away from God. The fear of the Lord is the consistent recognition of God's abiding presence. Because there was no law before Joseph was able to make a conclusion that it was a sin for him to sleep with his master's boss, with his master's wife. There was no law. It was in Genesis. The law came in Exodus. Come on.
Yes, sir.
So it's not about good from bad. It's about purpose. See, what I'm sharing with you, is so important that after today's service, some of you, there are certain rules you impose on yourself, not because the Bible says so. That's why Hebrews 12, the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight of sin that do beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That means, listen, a thing does not have to be a sin for it to be sinful to you. He says, because of the race that is before us, let us lay aside every weight and sin that do beset us. That means something does not have to be sinful. The moment it is a weight, it has become sinful to you. For instance, 100 meters race, there is no law that says you can't wear a jean and a Timberland shoe. But if you are running a race and you wear Timberland shoe and a jean and jean trouser, that already will limit your speed. Come on, talk to me. Now, so wearing jean, even though it is not in the athletic law, has become a sin to you because it becomes a weight to you. Come on. Therefore, the concept of purpose does not only shield us from immorality, but also makes us live conscious of the reason why we do what we do. So there is a big... So see, this message of purpose, when it filters into every area of your life, it will make you a rounded individual. That's what it will do. Hallelujah. So a simpler approach, therefore, to this subject is this. That for simplicity, we can categorize purpose into three. For simplicity, we can categorize purpose into three. One, purpose is, there is generic purpose, there is specific purpose, and there is occupational purpose. But they are all one and the same and intertwined. So you have to pay attention so that you can get the link. But just for simplicity purpose, I just wanted to categorize them into three so that you can get the point. It's like saying, for simplicity purpose, there is the physical man, soulish man, and the spiritual man. But it is still one man. Are you following? Man is a spirit that has a body, that has a soul that lives in a body. Do you understand? Come on, do you understand? It is still one man. As I am right now, I am a spirit. I have a soul. My soul is my sense of feel, my sense of reasoning, my intellect, my emotions, and my ability to make choices, my willpower. That's what makes my soul. Then I live in a body, my physical body, with five physical senses. But it is still the same one person. Are you following? So categorizing purpose, because I've shared in first service that there's only one purpose. So if you attended first service, don't start feeling confused. Ah, but you said there's only one purpose. Yes. So I'm still saying the same thing, but if you pay attention, you're going to see the link so that we can understand it together. Are we together?
Yes,
come on, are we together?
Yes,
good. So generic. God's generic purpose for all human race is adoption into sonship. Give me Ephesians 1 and verse 5. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. He says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Then verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So he has predestinated us unto the adoption of children. This is God's predestination for all mankind, irrespective of their race or culture. God has one destiny for all mankind, that they should be adopted into sonship by Jesus Christ. So the destiny of everyone born into this world is that they should become sons. And they only become sons by believing the gospel. So when they become sons and they come and become a member of the body, they already found their generic purpose. So the generic purpose of all mankind is that they should become sons. Say after me, the generic purpose of all mankind is that they should become sons. Then the next is specific. Specific. So when they come into Christ, they now find a specific purpose. And that specific purpose simply means a specific assignment that they do in the body to make the body fulfill its purpose of bringing more people into sonship. It therefore means that the underlying thing there is knowing God and making him known. To know him and to make him known. So you are saved to have others saved. So we have this specific individual race that we must run. Look at the book of 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 4 verse 5. We're going to see how Paul speaks about him finishing his own race. He says, but what? Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. That means Paul is saying, I'm about to go now. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8. henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. So everyone that love is appearing will also have this crown of righteousness, of having finished the course, having finished the race. And that means there must always be that urge to expect to see the coming of the Master. I have said this a million times. Yes. I have said this a million times, and I will say it a billion more times. All right? That when it comes to purpose, it is spiritual, not natural. So we have specific assignments. Romans 12, let's see it. Romans 12 and verse 4. He says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Can you see that? Come on, are you there?
Yes, sir.
We have one body, just like your natural human body. You have many members, true? Leg, and they have different specific assignments. But everything that they are doing differently is for the corporate benefit of the whole body, true?
Yes,
come on.
Yes,
all members have not the same office. Then he says, verse 5, for we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, come on, or he that exhorted on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Can you see that? Different. It now says, let love lead all these things. Then he gave a statement in verse 11. Verse 11. He says, not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Then in verse 12, he says, rejoicing in tribulation, in hope, patient, continuing instant in prayer. You see, what he's saying is, look, we are different members, but we have one specific assignment, but we have one generic purpose. If anything you are doing now does not support salvation of mankind, you are not in purpose. Did you hear that? Because God's ultimate plan is to have all men saved. First Corinthians 12 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 24. It says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. When last did you see your intestine? Anybody? May you never see it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But it's now become dangerous when your intestine starts crying that, how can you be painting the face all the time? You bought mascara, you bought Mary Kay, you bought all the things. It's only the face that is enjoying. And it is true, a lot of ladies spent a great fortune on their face to look good, and that's so fantastic. But it becomes a disaster when your intestine starts crying that, me too, I want to be seen. What the intestine does not know is where the intestine is. The reason why the face can paint is because the intestine is staying there. It's like a football feed. If the keeper says, no, everybody is scoring, means I want to go and score. The moment he leaves the goalpost, the opponent will come and score, right? What the keeper does not know is, while others celebrate how much of goal they score, his own celebration is how much of goal he catches. Come on. So we will not be doing the exact the same thing, but we must all have one purpose that is generic. It is to one goal. Souls must be saved. Come on. Is this thing simple enough? Whether one member suffer, go to verse 27, all right? Then he began to talk about, 27. He says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So we are specific members, but we are one body. And God has set some in the church. Apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, healing ministers, helps. Helps are those in media, all of those music departments. They help the ministry of the word. Government there means pastors. Diversities of tongues and all of that. So these are different offices, but in one body. Now, all right. Then the next one is occupational. Occupational. So we spoke about generic, we spoke about specific, then the next one is what? So that means in your occupation you can be purposeful. See, that's why I was careful to title this message purposeful. Because you see, you can find purpose in every mundane thing you do daily. The important thing is understand the purpose that God has for you, the proposed. And we have iterated that God has one predetermined purpose for all mankind, irrespective of their race or culture, that they should be adopted into sonship through the gospel. Ephesians 1:5 tells us so. Romans 8:29 tells us so. And the moment they become a member of the body when they got saved, they now have a specific assignment in the body to help the body further its course of bringing more people. Meanwhile, in even their career, their natural involvement, they can also be purposeful in the sense that they would ensure that everything they are doing supports the promotion of God's mission of bringing more men into the body. So if I'm making more money, I should give more to support the gospel. Yes, if I am a teacher in the university, I should seize the opportunity to minister and share the gospel to my students in free time. Come on. Because now I understand that there is a purpose to my career. My career cannot be my purpose. Because my career is simply an invention of man to meet the ever-evolving need of mankind. Like I told them in first service, that do you realize that you could not pursue aviation and career in aviation until 1903? Because then, until then, before the first airplane flew. So if career is your purpose, then that means your purpose is limited by time. Meanwhile, the one who proposed for you lives beyond time. You that he proposed for, you live beyond time too. You are a spirit. So whatever is your purpose for which he proposed for you must transcend time. Anything you do here on earth that will not matter in the afterlife can never be your purpose. Because the one who proposed for you lives in the spirit because he's a spirit, then whatever you have considered to be a purpose must be relevant in the realm of the one who proposed the purpose for you. So that at the end of your time on earth, your conversation about the accounting of all that you did on earth must not be a petty conversation before your maker. Your maker must see it, wow. Must say, wow, well done, faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. It therefore means that you cannot measure purpose by how much you acquire. And that's why I always say this, that the idea that uses Abraham as the perfect prototype of purpose is a wrong ideology, because whilst Abraham actually walked into wealth, on the other hand, Moses was also walking in purpose by walking out of his rich stepdad's wealth. By the way, his stepdad was the world power in that time. And he has the privilege of becoming the next Pharaoh. But by esteeming the reproach of Christ as greater riches, if he actually had to forgo the riches and the wealth he has in the palace, yet it was in purpose. So you cannot just throw a blanket definition of how this is our purpose you tell and all of that. Make no mistakes about it. I'm not in any way jettisoning the importance of making money, because the understanding of purpose in the first place should even be the best motivation for why you should make more money. Because now you have a bigger work to do with eternity in mind. Now you now have a more eternal purpose, a more eternal reason to have more money. So that means somebody who is out there chasing money just for earthly things should not be more serious than me, who wants to make money for eternal purpose. Is that simple enough?
Yes,
this is the simple definition. This is the simple explanation for the concept of purpose. If this is not your understanding of the concept of purpose, then you have been mistaken. So, for instance, in parenting, can you be purposeful in parenting?
Yes.
Look at Genesis 18, verse 17. God was literally bragging about Abraham in Genesis 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that in which I do? Verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall what? Surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Verse 19. For I know him. Somebody say, I know him. Can God say this about you? You see, there are some church members that even me as a pastor, I can't make such statements. I can't vouch. He says, for I know him that he will command his children. Can God brag about you that, I know him. He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. God was bragging that Abraham will be purposeful in his parenting. It is a sad reality that a lot of Christians do not have an idea about how their faith in God affects every other worldviews. How can you be a Christian and you tell me that you don't know how being a parent is pivotal in the promotion of God's kingdom? How can you be a Christian and you claim that God is a creator, and yet you don't have the urge to find, follow, and fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life? Because if God is my creator, that means I am made in his image. That means I am a well thought out intrusion into this earth realm. I'm not a mistake. That means God must have an intended purpose for which he created me. So my responsibility, therefore, now is to find that purpose for which he intended before I began to exist. It therefore also means that I would only live purposeful in this world to the degree in which everything I do supports that plan. It therefore means that I will live a purposeful life to the degree in which everything I do in time supports or promotes his predetermined expected purpose that he has for me before time. Because if anything I call purpose is irrelevant after time, it can't be my purpose. Because what he proposed for me existed before time began. I am only an intrusion into time to fulfill that which he proposed for me in time that will be relevant after time. Him that made that purpose for me, he that proposed for me the purpose, lives beyond time. I, the purpose also, I live beyond time. It is therefore carnal for me to now say my purpose is something that does not transcend time. It is carnal for me to now say, you know what, in accounting my purpose on earth, I can only give account of all the good things I have accumulated in this world. So everything, therefore, I do in this world will only be purposeful to the degree in which it has supported that its intended purpose for me before time. See, this is very simple and very important. Because this becomes my motivation for why I want to make more money. It has become my motivation for why I want to be excellent in my business. Because now I understand that in everything I do, in parenting, in being a boss in my workplace, I will now be more excellent with the consciousness that I can actually draw a purpose to everything I'm doing. I can make nice bow straight hair with purpose. I can look good and put nice cologne, knowing that if I want to preach to some people, if they notice that I've not taken my bath in 3 days, they will not listen to me. So I can do everything with purpose in mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can live every day being purposeful, just ensuring that everything you do supports the purpose for which the Creator intended for you the purposed. Do you understand?
Yes,
let me give you an example. Act 10. For example, in Act 10, the Bible tells us that Cornelius had an... See, a lot of people don't know this thing. See, you have to understand this thing. It's so simple. I know my time is up, but you see, I need to drive this out. I know. Just give me a minute. I'll be done. Thank you.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.